Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for our call. As you heard, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is on the line, along with Brandon Willis, Administrator for USDA's Risk Management Agency, and they're going to be announcing a new Farm Bill provision that will allow direct relief to farmers affected by severe weather, including drought. Reporters, if you want to ask a question of either of our panel members, please let us know by pressing star 1. But before we get to the Q&A, let's start off with Secretary Vilsack. Good afternoon.
Susan, thank you, and thanks to everyone who's on the call today. Let me start off by saying how extraordinarily proud I am of the men and women who work at the United States Department of Agriculture, and specifically as it relates to today's announcement, those who work with the Risk Management Agency and those who work at the Farm Service Agency. In February of this year, the President signed a new farm bill that contained a substantial number of new programs and reforms. And I am, again, extraordinarily proud of the work that's been done up to this point in implementing the Farm Bill. We have seen the development of the new safety net programs, expanded crop insurance options, an opportunity to expand our landscape scale conservation efforts, a new research foundation, a variety of rural development programs that have been instituted, all in a relatively short period of time, even though the staff at USDA is less than it was a number of years ago. One of the concerns that has been expressed throughout this process is the impact that new crop insurance opportunities will have on those who have suffered through natural disasters, particularly the drought that existed in 2012 that covered a great part of the United States and those parts of the country that are still suffering from difficult weather. And the need for information to be submitted in terms of crop insurance protection to take a look at a 10-year historic production levels, whether or not those years in which Mother Nature did not cooperate would skew the computation and make it more difficult for producers to obtain the coverage and the protection they need for their operation. As a result of some extraordinary work on the part of RMA and FSA, we find ourselves several months ahead of schedule in the implementation of a number of the safety net programs, which has freed up IT contractors and freed up personnel to focus on this issue. We've also now been able to determine that much of the information that we established for the implementation of the ARC and PLC programs that were announced just in the last couple of weeks can also be used in terms of this crop insurance issue. So for that reason, and for the reason that we were able to hire additional staff by virtue of the additional resources provided in the Farm Bill, RMA is announcing today that it will be able to offer a limited release of the APH annual production history yield exclusion election, which was outlined and contained in the 2014 Farm Bill, for a select number of crops for the 2015 crop year. Spring crops eligible for APH yield exclusion for that 2015 crop year will include corn, soybeans, spring wheat, cotton, grain sorghum, rice, barley, canola, sunflowers, peanuts, and popcorn. Now, these crops represent roughly 75% of the applicable acreage that is currently insured, and roughly 78% or so of what the applicable liability may very well be. So it's, while it's not all crops and not all applicable acres and liability, it is a significant percentage of both acreage and liability. This implementation is obviously sooner than we had anticipated, and I think it is a direct result of timely collaboration and coordination and feedback from RMA's program specialists and the approved insurance providers on various Farm Bill initiatives and priorities. We're going to be able to make this announcement now due to the success of the implementation, as I've said, of other Farm Bill initiatives on a much more accelerated basis, and by virtue of the fact that we'll now be able to use some of the information obtained while developing the ARC and PLC programs. The FSA offices, RMA, will be working collaboratively with FSA to use that information as well. This is part of the 2014 Farm Bill, and program details concerning this election will be more specifically outlined and released by RMA in December of 2014. So we And we hope that folks appreciate that we are working extremely hard to get this very important provision of the Farm Bill implemented as quickly as possible, as well as all the other various steps that have been taken by our team at USDA in the last 6 months or so. So with that, Susan, I think we'll open up to questions.
All right. We have Chris Clayton on the line from DTN. Chris.
Secretary, thank you for having this call. I was wondering if you guys could talk about how this provision will, how will premiums be affected for producers who use this provision, and how will it premiums be affected for other farmers in the same county or same contiguous area if a lot of producers take up this provision?
Well, before I let Brandon Willis answer the specifics of your question, Chris, let me say that I think that until I had a briefing by our team recently on the complexity of APH, I didn't fully appreciate and realize how many calculations and permutations there are that could potentially impact a producer's ability to obtain adequate crop insurance protection at an affordable price. This election obviously depends on whether or not a particular county suffered significant losses below 50% of what they would normally anticipate producing. It not only impacts the county where that has occurred, but it also, as you indicated, touches contiguous counties. So that multiplies significantly the number of farmers who will want to do some calculation. It will obviously have an impact on premiums, and Brandon can discuss that. But I think the most important thing is that it, in my view anyway, is that it provides producers the ability to take out that year or two that just simply would skew the data to the point where they would not be in a position to adequately support and protect their crop investment. And that's really, at the end of the day, the purpose of crop insurance and of the safety net that we have. Brandon, you want to add to that?
Yeah, the one thing I would say, it shouldn't impact farmers who do not take advantage of this provision. The details should come out in December, but as with any crop insurance policy, the premium charge is tied directly to the risk involved in growing that crop in that county. We're working on this issue, but certainly as the coverage level potentially changes, there could be potential premium changes, but I say let's wait till December. We'll have more details on that.
Alrighty, reporters, once again, to remind you, if you want to ask a question, please let us know by pressing star 1 on your touch-tone pad. As we wait for more reporters to jump on the line, I want to ask, with this APH yield exclusion and how it helps farmers, can you talk a little bit about for those who were hard hit by drought?
Well, this is a circumstance and situation where as they look at their production history over the last 10 years, if they had 1 year where they literally were wiped out or where they literally had very little in the way of production. If you take that year out, obviously your average yield for that period of time will be significantly higher, and that may prompt you to want and to need additional coverage or to provide coverage consistent with what generally and usually happens. When you have that year that had to be included, that basically brings that average down. It obviously reduces the amount of protection that you have, and it creates a higher risk. Producers will have to make that determination. As Brandon indicated, it's an individual decision, commodity by commodity, producer by producer, county by county. That's what makes this so complex. That's why it requires a lot of time, a lot of technology, a lot of staff time. It's why it was important for us to prioritize the implementation of the other programs so that a broad array of producers around the country would know the basics of ARC and PLC, the supplemental crop insurance options, STACS program, and the other things that we've implemented. So this is obviously going to impact. It's going to provide some assistance for some producers. Some producers will take advantage of it. Some won't. But it's an individual decision. And the fact that we're now making this available, I'm sure, is going to bring some relief to the concern that was being expressed out in the countryside. Again, we're not covering every crop for a variety of reasons, but I think we made a good faith effort to cover as many crops as we could across the country without selecting individual counties or individual states to get special treatment or protection This is basically making this available to producers of these crops across a good part of the United States.
All right, let's get back to the callers on the line. Let's go to Sarah Wyatt with AgriPulse. Sarah.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. As both of you know, some of the growers who have been most upset about the inability to get this change implemented thus far have been in the wheat community, especially in Oklahoma and Texas. And I just wondered if you would care to respond about what remedy, if any, they might expect in regard to getting this exclusion implemented for the wheat growers.
Well, the spring wheat's going to be covered, winter wheat's not. And it's just a fact of the calendar. Winter wheat election was made prior to September 30th. This was not in a situation where we could make this announcement soon enough to impact winter wheat. The reality is that we cannot sort of reopen that because it would create some serious actuarial concerns that would result in, I think, a bit of chaos in the market, which, frankly, we just don't think is appropriate, and it's not the precedent that we want to set. We're making this decision because our folks have done an incredible job of implementing other parts of the Farm Bill in a timely way. We're now able to use the technology folks and staff folks to make the various permutations and calculations. It's relatively easy for folks on the outside who don't understand and appreciate how complex this truly is and how many different variations there can be to have raised concerns. But we're attempting to try to address as many of those concerns as we can without compromising the actuarial soundness of whatever policies are being issued.
Next call on the line, Jerry Hagstrom with the Hagstrom Report. Jerry.
I have two questions. The first is, I just want to be sure this is nationwide. This is not limited to the Texas and Oklahoma area where most of the complaints have come from.
It's nationwide, and Jerry.
It's
nationwide.
Okay. And then the second thing is, tell me if I have this correct, that the assumption would be if you take out the bad year, then you're going to get a higher level of coverage and your premium will probably be higher. If you include the bad year, you won't have as much coverage, but your premium will probably be lower. Is that right?
Yeah, I think as a practical matter, Jerry, without getting into the minutia here, as a general proposition, that's correct. There are, again, so many different permutations that there may be a circumstance where that general rule does not apply, but as a practical matter, folks have to make that decision to include or not include a year or two or three or four or as many as 6 years. And frankly, their decision may be impacted on contiguous county activity and producers in a contiguous county making decisions. I mean, this is very, very complicated. So as a general proposition, if you take the year out, obviously it's going to increase your average yield. You're going to get coverage for that average yield. Obviously, as Brandon indicated, your premium is going to be based on that. If you include the year, obviously your average yield will be a little bit less. And if you only buy coverage for that, there's less risk. And most of the time, there'll be less of a premium.
Ron Hayes from Oklahoma Farm Report. Ron.
Good afternoon, Mr. Secretary. One question. You mentioned the fact that you used some resources now that were provided to you by the 2014 Farm Law, additional resources outside of the agency proper to help put everything on track to get this thing speeded up and to be able to announce APH today. Were you able to use those through the entire process, or are you just now using them here at this point in the implementation process?
Well, first of all, there are a multitude of reasons why we're in a position to do this. The additional staffing is part of it, but additional staffing by itself would not have made a difference if we had not been able to use the information obtained during the ARC and PLC process. And if we hadn't been able to accelerate the production of the whole farm policy and some of the other policies that are now several months ahead of schedule. So the additional staff obviously is important, but I think the critical reason why we're in a position to do this today when we couldn't have done it a month ago or 2 months ago or 6 months ago is because, A, we didn't have we weren't ahead of schedule until recently, and B, we had not instituted ARC and PLC and therefore had not accumulated all of that necessary data and information that would make this job a bit easier. Then with the additional staff added to RMA recently, you're in a position to be able to do this. But I don't think you want to put too much emphasis on the additional staff. It's a factor, but it's by no means the critical factor. I think the critical factor is we're ahead of schedule and we're able to use data in more than one way or more than one format.
Let's continue with Bill Thompson from Politico. Bill.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Secretary. Thanks. Most of my APH questions have been answered, so I'd like to go a little bit off topic, if that's all right. Was it last week when the president canceled his some travel plans and convened a cabinet meeting to discuss Ebola? I'm wondering if you were part of that, and if you were, what's agriculture or USDA's role in the Ebola situation?
Bill, I was not. I was on travel when the president called that cabinet meeting, so I was not personally in attendance. Our role in terms of Ebola is in very much a supportive position. Principally, our biggest concern relates to our food assistance programs and the ability for USDA to continue to provide food assistance in countries that have been devastated by this epidemic and the interference that potentially could create in terms of being able to get food to schools, to get food to other locations. Our McGovern Dole program has been impacted a bit by Ebola, and we're now in the process of working with folks in countries that have been impacted by this to try to figure out if there's a way in which we can deliver food to homes as opposed to schools that have been shut down and closed because of the epidemic.
Last call is, or question rather, is going to come from Catherine Boudreaux with Bloomberg BNA. Catherine.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is just quickly back to APH. You mentioned that up to 6 years can be removed, and I just was hoping for clarification under what what the criteria would be to remove those years.
Let me be careful about this. Basically, if there's not enough information, if there are four or fewer years for which there's information, Brandon, maybe you can explain this, that has an impact. Essentially, you've got a 10-year history. You can take a look at that 10-year history, and you have the election with these crops that we're announcing today for the 2015 crop year, spring crops. You have the election to take one or more years out of that calculation. The criteria is basically the producer's choice. They may or may not select one or more years in which their yields were significantly down, but they may choose not to. So it's an election year by year based on a 10-year average. I was probably getting into greater detail than I should have, but Brandon, maybe you can explain the four-year issue.
Yeah, consistent with just the way crop insurance currently works, if a producer doesn't have 4 years of history, we use yields called transitional yields, and I would anticipate that same policy would apply here. As far as whether a county is eligible, that we'll look at the 10-year average that Secretary Vilsack talked about, and producers can pick and choose. But come December, we'll provide fact sheets and a lot of information that can help producers thoroughly understand all their options under this provision.
We still have a little bit of time left before we get to recapping on the dates. I want to ask this question. If you are a farmer and you have several of these commodities and you have insured them, how does it work? You actually still you pick and choose, or you still get the coverage for all of that and the break?
Brandon can correct me if I'm wrong, but each individual commodity is treated differently and separately. So you make different calculations. Let's say you are a corn and soybean producer. You've got yields for corn. You have yields for soybeans. You you basically have that option to maybe include a year for corn, but exclude a year for soybeans. You may have different farms, and on different farms you may make different elections. That's why this is so complex. If you're a farmer with multiple farms and multiple crops, you have multiple elections. If your county isn't included as a primary county, but it happens to be contiguous to a county that is in for corn but out for soybeans, that impacts your decision. That's why this is extraordinarily complex. And folks sitting in, sort of in the cheap seats can kind of say, well, why can't we do all this? Until you understand how many calculations are required, it's amazing we're where we are today with reference to the implementation of the Farm Bill, and it's only because our folks have worked long hours. People have worked overtime. People have worked on weekends. People have worked late into the night. And as a result of that hard work, we're in a position today to have implemented sections of the Farm Bill that I think very few of us thought were possible to have been implemented at this point in time.
Just to recap as we bring the call to a close, the crop year that people can use, the eligible crop years, and then give us once again the information of when the policy information is going to be released and accessible to farmers.
So the program details will be released by RMA in December of 2014. This will include fact sheets and more detailed information. What we're essentially indicating is that spring crops, spring 2015 crops, crop year 2015 for the designated crops, corn, soybeans, spring wheat, cotton, grain sorghum, rice, barley, canola, sunflowers, peanuts, and popcorn throughout the entire nation, not one or two selected states, but everybody who potentially can qualify will qualify for these crops, will have the opportunity to use the APH yield exclusion election, which was designated and identified in the 2014 Farm Bill. And I am going to continue to emphasize this point because I want it understood that the only reason we're here today is because a lot of people at USDA worked extraordinarily hard for the people that they care about in rural areas and producers to be able to make this announcement and all the other announcements that we've made consistently and rather in a very organized and orderly fashion throughout the last 6 to 7 months.